The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
I say glory to God. Can do better. Say glory to God. And as a new year, you shouldn't be cold. There's no room to be cold anyway. Amen. You should be excited. One of the things you must bring to service is excitement. Every service. You know, one of the reasons why you've got to be excited to start with is because you know that God is going to touch you. And that will lead me to bring maybe a few corrections. Earlier when we were taking the testimonies, you know, one of the things you cannot be is to be cold in such seasons. Right? When you get those testimonies, never get used to them. I get what I'm saying now. Never get used to them. And I'm going to have some meetings with some people concerning this after now. And some people possibly be disciplined. Let me tell you, your heart cannot grow cold towards God's word, towards God's miracles. Your heart cannot grow cold. If you say someone down there, you know, there are churches, for instance, not to shade anyone, you know, but there are churches that are looking forward to seeing some of these things that happen here every day happen in their midst, at least once. There are churches that before they record one healing in their midst, they have to invite a guest minister. But then we see it every day happen here. And because it happens every day, that doesn't mean that when we say, oh, someone say, I was blind, now I can see you, and I say, oh, hallelujah. No. You've got to be excited. And I'm not just because I'm saying it. You hear people share two testimonies today. First, somebody testified of, you know, getting the contract, closing a deal already on 3rd of January, beginning of the year. That shouldn't sound normal to you. And that came after prophetic declarations. I hear someone testify of having rashes, which I don't even know what that is, because that affected sleeping, that affected even sitting, that affected even being able to urinate. You heard that? All over. And walked in here on the way Thursday night. No prayer, just walked in here that night. Healings began immediately. Those are not things you just smile about. Those are things you scream about. Except you can heal. I get the point. You are not the healer. So when those things happen, you get excited about them. Because trust me, if you had read those things in a book, you will go crazy. Everything I'm saying now, yeah, you go crazy. And then came on healing night, Friday night, laid hands on the person, woke up the next day, the rashes were drying up. Total healing. Now, those are not things that when you hear, you say, well, glory to God. There are places that you don't hear these things. Right, I've gone to churches where before you hear such testimonies, there has to be a special program. And then a man of God is flown in. But God has so blessed us in this place that it's a normal occurrence. In this service this morning, someone is getting healed. And it's just something that happens every time we gather. We mustn't make light of them. The secret is this. You make light of them. To start with, the value of what it represents will diminish before your eyes. That's the first problem. And then gradually begin to lose those happenings. Have you not wondered? I give you an example. There are ministries in this country, big ministries, for instance, that are notable for miracles. For instance, talk of ministries like Christ Embassy. You know, Pastor Christopher Clement is notable for such outstanding miracles. And yet, when you go to those meetings, for every of the miracles and all of that, you still see the excitement, the shouting, the jumping. That's what's part of what sustains that flow. Because they're not getting used to it. I feel I'm talking about. You go to other ministries that are very notable for maybe word of knowledge and all of that, where they mention people's names. No matter how many times they've heard the pastor go forensic with details, for every fresh time they hear it, they are excited. That's not carnality. That is spirituality. Now, you are the one being carnal. By getting used to things because you feel they happen here often. So, come on. It's one of those things that happen here. Never get used to those things. I feel I'm talking about. Never. I've got to learn it.
And not just in church here. If you are speaking with someone personal, the person says, do you know, I just have a pain here and God healed me. That's all the time to say, yeah. Yeah is what? You get excited. The things that God does to us must remain big in our eyes. Because they are actually big. Someone didn't have a job, now he has a job. Oh, hallelujah. Let's glorify God for that. I mean, let's go wild with the thanksgiving. Let's shout down the building. Are you what I'm saying? Yes. That, you know, I just felt the Lord say, I should bring that correction very sharply. Are you getting the point? Both to the people officiating those sessions and to the people receiving those things are not casual things. You know, as simple as headache getting healed is not casual. Because people die from headaches. But then what we heard this morning and what we keep hearing every day is beyond headache getting healed. These are mind-blowing things that God is doing in our midst. So they must remain big in your eyes. Are you following what I'm saying now? Hallelujah. So come just with excitement. When it's time to pray, pray on top of your voice. When it's time to sing, sing on top of your voice. When it's time to receive the word, receive it on top of your voice. Be excited about the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, I rejoice at thy word as one that has received great spoil. I rejoice at thy word. So there is an emotion that must accompany the word of God. Yes. There's an emotion. Nothing like, but I'm happy. You know, when I heard what, I was just so glad I smiled. He didn't say I smile at the word. He said, I rejoice at thy word. So we don't smile at the word. We rejoice at it. We scream when we hear the word. And that's the right attitude towards the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I say glory to God. So the year is beginning, starting, and we're excited about that. Have you seen me this year? I think I've seen some of you this year. So maybe you look for someone that you've not seen this year. That means that person obviously missed the crossover service. So say Happy New Year to that person. Someone you've not seen since this year, you've not seen before. Say Happy New Year to the person. Happy New Year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's have our seat. Good morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have a great year ahead of us. Are you aware of that? It's the year of breaking forth. We are breaking forth by the Spirit. Glory to God. I say we are breaking forth by the Spirit. And you better get excited at that and better begin to expect that those things will happen to you. Because God spoke those words to us. They will happen. The question is whether they will happen to you and for you, or whether you will just witness them. So it's a great year, and you know, breaking forth, we took time to look at that. I thought, is it that teaching on 31st night, that teaching that night, if I were here, I would go and listen to it again and again and again and pray with it and fight with those words. For those words, that was clearly a prophetic message. Amen. Clearly prophetic. Because that teaching that night projected as far as into December this year. Yes. See, it wasn't the message for that night. It's a message for the whole year. So these are messages that you have to listen to until you can almost recite them. Because you are staying, you know, I taught you last year on lay hold. You remember that? You're trying to lay hold on all that God has for you in that very session. So very important you get to the teaching and get blessed by it again and again. So this morning, I'll start sharing something. I don't know whether it's going to be a series. It may be a series. Well, let's just start moving first. Do you understand? So I call these plans and purposes. I told you about that, right? Do you remember? Plans and purposes. One of the things you've got to trust God for every year is for proper direction. Proper direction. Proper direction. Without having a clear-cut direction, one, you may not get where you are going to. Number two, even if you get where you're going to, you get there very late. If someone is headed to, you know, if someone sets out from Enugu here and is headed towards maybe a Bakiliki or something, it's a very direct route. Just go straight and then you are there. But if he doesn't know the way, he can keep running round and round and round and he will get there very late. Not because where you are going to is far. Sometimes what we lack is proper direction. And that's why it's always good that, you know, your mind is refreshed. And you get to know that there is a plan God has for your life. There is a purpose God has for your life. You must be able to know how to find that purpose and how to walk in that purpose. And that's what I want to start doing today. And I can almost see, of course, it's my run throughout January. How to find that people, how to find what the plan of God is for your life, and you know how to begin to walk in it. Because I say it again, God has a plan for your life. No human being is an accident of creation. I always say it this way: nobody is an accident of sexual intercourse. Your parents might not be aware that you are coming, but God is aware that you are coming. And that's the truth. Your parents might not have planned for you, but God planned for you. Science tells us that when a man meets a woman, there are how many million sperm cells released, and then they begin to rush towards the egg. Well, God knows the one that will get to the egg. God knew it was you that was coming. And it's very clear in the word of God. And because he knew, he already had a plan before you came. And you know, one of the things I'm going to teach you today is find out what God's plan for you is. The reason many people, you know, I said it on the first night, the reason many people are wishing and praying for God's blessing every now and then is because they have started their own things and they want God to come and bless what they've started. And that's wrong. Actually, the easiest thing to do is to find what God wants you to do. Because what he actually wants you to do is already blessed. His will is already blessed. His plan is already blessed. When you get your plan and you try to bring God into it, well, it doesn't function that way. The plan of God is already blessed. I had a man of God that, don't take this to the extreme, right? But I had a man of God say, I'll tell you who I'm talking about, Andrew Womack. So you know I'm not talking about this small man of God. In whatever sense you want to define it. However you want to look at a big man of God, Andrew Womack is a big man of God. In whatever sense, by age, he's a big man of God. He's an old man. Which other way? By years in ministry, the man, as at 1999 or so, he celebrated 31 years in ministry. 1999. So, he's a big man of God. You should just believe me. And talk of the spread of the ministry all over the world. But you know, he said that when he travels for most of those meetings, don't take it to the extreme. He said he doesn't pray for those meetings. And somebody asked him that he doesn't see you do. He said, well, because he doesn't come up with the idea of those meetings in his head, that God tells him to hold it. So if God tells him to hold the meetings, it means the meeting is already blessed. So he just finds where God is going and then he goes there. And whatever God has ordained will happen there. Now, don't take it to the extreme that you need to pray and bet the will of God and the plan of God. I get to the point. But it just tells you how easy it is to operate in life if you are operating within the boundaries of God's plan as well for your life. But the problem is that most of us don't really care what God is saying. We just want to carry out and do our own ambition. And once you are operating and running on your own ambition, you know, God is what they need. Now, I didn't say you don't have success. You have success. You might even succeed at it. But you know the thing about it, success is not defined by, you know, everything we think. For instance, if I always say this jokingly, you know, some of you used to, you know, if you grew up, your father had, did your father ever have 504 Peugeot? Is it Peugeot they call it? You are not French. You are not whatever. Peugeot. Do you know Peugeot? You know why I had mentioned that car? That car is iron. You know that car? Your father had that car. There must come a time in your house, and I speak by the Spirit, that they began to use that car to spread clothes. Did it happen in your house? Unless there must be a, unless your father is mean, But you know, it dries very fast. You put clothes on that thing before you count five, it has dried. Now, because that car can dry clothes quickly, doesn't mean that's the purpose of the car. So if you are that car, and all your life your testimony is that you dried clothes quickly, you still failed. Because success is defined by purpose. I get to the point. Success is defined by purpose. Before you can clearly call something a success or a failure, you must first of all know the purpose of that thing. So you actually cannot say you are succeeding in life because you have money. That's the truth. It's when you know your purpose and feel you can look at it and say, wow, he's succeeding. Not because of the amount in his bank account, but because there is a purpose for his life and he's living out the reality of that purpose. That's why in a new year like this, it's better you find out what God wants for you and where God wants you to be. That is how you can call this year a success or a failure. I get to the point. You know, if God ever planned that you travel to the US or to the UK or maybe Australia or wherever, and you find your place, your way there, and even make a lot of money, you still failed in the year. It's still a bad year. Are you following what I'm saying? It is good you learn how to properly find out what God wants for you. Because hear this, God has a plan for your life. I'll show you this in the Bible. God has a big plan, a plan for your life. But listen, you must actually find, one of the ways to make sure to work in the plan of God or to get where God wants you to get to is that every day, every moment, every step on the way, you are walking in his will for your life. Because it is walking in the directions that he gives you that eventually gets you to his plan. Just like when you are traveling with Google Map. Right? You know, the map, maybe you're traveling to wherever. The destination is already set. But there are turns. There is this, if you get to this junction, take right. Have you ever used Google Map before? When you get here, turn left. Now, knowing where you are headed is not enough. You must be able to know the different turns on the way. Are you following what I'm saying now? The different, make a U-turn here. Slide right. Take left. So people say, I know God's plan for my life. That's fine. I know he wants me to be this. That is fine. But you must also keep tabs with him. I get to the point. Be able to know the different turn right, turn left, stop here. I get what I'm saying. Because just knowing that you're going to Lagos is not enough. Knowing you're going to Lagos is not enough. You must know the different turns. Many of us already know where we are going to. You already know that God wants you to be this. Some of you, God has shown you that you're going to do ministry. Some of you, God has shown you your future. But you see, you must be able to follow him every step of the way to be able to get there. Now, look at this. Your Google Map says, take right. And then you didn't pick it and you go straight. You know, the map, you will not be lost. You will eventually find another right to take. If it doesn't know what to do, it will tell you to make a U-turn and return you back to that right. But you would have wasted your time. And that's a problem. So, I said this to you. For many of us, where God is taking you to is not far. You are just missing your turns. Are you following me? You're just missing your turns. I know people that have missed their turns at different times. And sometimes that it has taken them long to come around it. I'm telling you. Are you following me? Yes. A perfect example where I've seen people miss their turns in life, for instance, in the area of ministry, is training. I've seen people miss their turns a lot in training. God, imagine God brings you to, you came into university, and then there is this particular young man that God has put in that university to mentor you for where you are going to. Maybe 5 years after that. And then while in the university, you began to quarrel with the guy, you didn't even pay attention, then after you graduate from school. You know that somewhere God is taking you to. You've missed a turn. Now God, it's not, all hope is not lost. He will still bring another person, but then you must get that training before you move on. So what happens is that it's going to reroute. Are you getting what I'm saying? But you're wasting your time. God has a plan for your life. It's good to find it and work it. Let's read this scripture, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. This, what I'm doing now is very important. The book for this month is how to find the will of God for your life and the way they live in. You know that book? Yeah. It's out there. It's for sale. It's my book actually. How to find the will of God for your life and the way they live in. But I'm not preaching from the book. But I'm just saying you read it. It will help with what I'm sharing. Psalm 139 verse 15. Amen. I said, amen. He said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and grossly wrought in the lowest part of the earth. He said, thy eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now that's King James. I had to read that so that you will learn how not to only use King James to study your Bible. Now many of you, you complain you don't understand the Bible when you study it, but it's actually not true. You actually do. You're just trying to use King James because someone has told you that King James is the original Bible. Say amen. Now, I'm not against King James. Please buy your King James, but please buy simple things so you can understand your Bible very well. Buy simple translations. And is King James the original Bible? Well, in a sense, yes, because that was the one that was translated from the Greek and Hebrew. But some of that were also translated from the original. Things like Amplified Classic. Right? So some of them are good. Amen. I said amen, no. Do you know who King James is? Yeah? Who is King James? You think he's the James in the Bible? King James was a king. That Bible was just named after him because he was under his tenure in England that authorized that translation. In fact, people believe he wasn't even born again. So don't make a fuss out of it. Say amen. So I'm saying read your Bible in however you want to, anyhow you understand it. So don't be scared of water. But you ain't going to hear water. You didn't get anything. Just saying. So let me read to you in New Living Translation. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. Okay, Watanka now. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every bit of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Let me read the Passion Translation to you. It says, you even formed every bone in my body when you created me in the secret place. Carefully, skillfully, you shaped me from nothing to something. You saw who you created me to be before I became me. That's the truth. There's someone who created you to be before you were formed. And God saw that person. Follow me, friends. God saw that person. What I'm doing here now, God knew. If you had asked God the day I was born, what's this guy's plan? He would have told you about the Exalted Platform Church. That is if I am walking in God's plan for my life. But I am, don't worry. But I'm just saying, I get to the point. If I am, you have told you that it's going to happen, this is going to happen, he would have shown you. God, not even God, no architect, no builder just starts making things. You have a plan. Look at that. He said, you saw you created me to be before I became me. Before I had seen the light of the day, the number of days you planned for me, you already recorded in your book. So there was already a plan. So you've got to find what that plan is and walk in that plan and align yourself to that plan. And I'm trying to show, what I want to show you today is, you know, the possibility. How is it possible that you can know what God wants you to do every moment, every step on the way? I'll still teach you later about the inward witness and all of that. But, you know, one of the things I'd like you to know this morning is this. God wants to lead you, you know, right? Now, and scratch that. God is always leading you. So that's why there should be no teaching, for instance, on how to get God to lead you. That's what the Bible teaching. You can't get God to lead you. God leads you once you are born again. But there can be a teaching on how to recognize the leading of God in your heart. Are you following what I'm saying now? You can't get, the Bible tells us, as many as are led by the Spirit the Son of God. So once you are a child of God, he leads you. If I without that scripture, it is the commitment of every father to direct the son. It's as simple as that. It is the commitment of every father to direct the son. You can't give birth to a child and then, you know, when you give birth to a child, you begin to direct the child without the child even knowing. Some of you that are young, that are parents already, if your child is nearing school age, you, I believe you're already praying and scouting for schools that the child will go to. It's your job to put the child in a good school. You get the point? It's your job. If you notice that child is having some kind of friends that you don't think is good for him, you begin to withdraw. I know a parent that even withdrew the child from a particular school because the child was keeping bad friends. And that's divine, that's the leading of a father. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, if a father biologically can be that committed to a child's guidance, think of how God is committed to your guidance. That's why you don't beg God to lead you. All this, Father, please lead me. It's not a valid prayer. God is committed to lead you. He wants to lead you. He's not following me this morning at all. So, when people get, there are many prayers to pray in the Bible because they are useless. Useless. Of course, they come from very sincere motives, but God wants to lead you. You can say, Father, please lead me. Lead me. Don't let me go astray. He wants to lead you. He's already leading you. What you've got to learn how to is how to recognize that leading and how to now follow it. How to now follow it. Every step on the way. Every step on the way. How to know what he's saying today. How to know what he's saying tomorrow. How to know what he's saying next week. How do I recognize what God is saying? How do I know? Of course, by the inward witness and all of that. But, you know, I want to bring you to a point where you can always find that leading. Where you can always tell, without even stress, where you can always find that leading. That is a posture you must carry if you're going to be someone that will always find the leading of the Spirit all the time. Amen. Like I said, I will teach later on the inward witness, the inward man. I've taught on that a lot. I'll teach on it later. If you get the book I recommended for you, you will see that teaching there. But I want to just share a few things with you that will help you posture your heart right. Right? So that every time God brings his leading, you'll be able to get it easily. So Proverbs chapter 3. Let's work with that scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. I'm going to be teaching from there today. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. I'll wait for you to open it. So once you get it, you tell me you've gotten it. Do you have it now? Proverbs 3 verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. So he's showing you there are three things he mentioned there. He now said, when these three things are in place, he will direct your paths. So in other words, there is a posture you must carry to be someone that walk daily in divine direction. First, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So first, there is an issue of trust. You must be able to trust someone that walk in divine direction. You must be able to trust God. What do I mean by that? Trust that God will lead you. And that's why I started with how I started this morning. You must believe that God will lead you. You know, the reason why many of us don't get divine leading is because we don't even know that God is committed to leading us. Your journey into divine direction starts from you believing, knowing that God wants to lead me. And God is always leading me. You must go from wishing that God will lead you to knowing that God is committed to leading you. Right? He said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Trust. What does it mean? Trust that God will lead you. Trust that he will direct your path. And you know one of the things I said in my note? If you trust that God will lead you and direct your path, one of the ways that will manifest is that you will always be patient to wait for his leading. Yeah. Many of us are just impatient because we don't even believe that God will lead us. That is an issue of faith. Believe that he wants to lead you. Believe that he will always lead you. Believe that he will not leave you stranded. So the reason I can tell you, for instance, when the year was coming, and sometimes by November, God already has given me the word for the next year. Right? Sometimes by October. But this year was a bit different because after Zoe, you know, as Zoe, I was conscious, I was trying to see, is God going to bring any word? Now, God said a few things to me about the year, about this 2026, as Zoe, but he never gave me the word for the year. Now, what I did not do is to sit down and just let me make up something. Because I know God is committed to that business. I get the point. He's committed to leading me. So I didn't sweat. I wasn't afraid. I wasn't skeptical. And I wasn't making things. So I didn't say, well, let me just check which one is raining. What's the raining word? 2020. You now start doing combination. 2 + 2 = 20. 2 + 0 + 2 + 6 = 10. And 10 is the number of commandments. Because that is 10 commandments. So 2026 is the year of... The reason we get into... You know,
are not aware of how much committed God is to leading us. Trust that God will lead you. If I do something, trust. I'm trying to assure you that God wants to lead you. Over your studies, God wants to lead you. About ministry, God wants to lead you. That's why I will never run off to do anything because I know God is committed to leading me. So I'll wait for Him. I'll wait to get it. So that's why you don't see me do presentation and combination. Say, 2 plus 2. You know, some of those people, things people do. You see, that's why some people, every November, is the year of delivery. Because it's the 9th month. Every July is the month of perfection. Because it's the 7th month. Yeah, every October, every August is the month of new beginning. Because after that is perfection in July, that is now a new beginning in August. You know what those things people do? We actually don't know how much God is committed to leading us. If we can just wait on Him, He will tell you what He wants to do in the month. God is committed to leading you. Are you following what I'm saying now? And like I said, it's the reason why many of us go from place to place seeking counsel, you know, doing trial and error. We are not aware of how much commitment God has to leading you. So that's why the Proverbs said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's how leading starts. Trust Him with all your heart. Trust that He will lead you. Believe that He will guide you. And I meant to reassure you, He wants to guide you this year. He wants to lead you in the path that He must go this year. He is very committed to that. So if you say, God is committed to leading me. I want to shout. Say, God is committed to leading me. Say, I know that God will lead me. God is my Father. He is committed to leading me. I trust, I believe that He will always lead me. I will never be lost on the way. I will never be confused at any time. For God is committed to leading me in the path that I must walk. Shout amen, somebody. I follow Him. Have your seat. God is committed to leading you. God wants to lead you. Now, that's the first thing. If at this particular fact I shared with you, keeps your heart calm. Now, when there's any problem, I just know that somewhere along the line, the leading of God is going to show up. Yes. So I can tell people, and I tell people this confidently, I don't know what to do about this, but I will soon know. Where does that confidence come from? Because I know God wants to lead me. Are you following me? He said, are you so sure? I'm so sure. I don't know what we're going to do about this, but let's just go and come back. I'm going to figure it out. And that's when I talk to people who are not believers. When I talk to believers, I'll say, we'll know what to do. You know, one of the people that demonstrated this thing, let me show you, Daniel. Daniel chapter, I think chapter 2. So you see, when you believe, when you trust that God will always lead you, you might not actually know what it is yet, but you know you will know. That's why I'm confident I will not be distracted this year. I'm confident I will get where I'm going to this year because I know God Himself is committed to leading me. I am sure. So I may not have known what will happen in May, but I know I will know. I say, what if God sometimes you don't know? I will know because God is committed to letting me know. That's what I'm trying to make. Trust Him that He will lead you. Trust Him that He will direct you. Trust Him that He will show you the path you must walk. So Daniel chapter 2. Of course, you know the background of the story. When the king said, I have a dream. But I had a dream last night, but then I won't tell you what the dream is. You go find out what the dream is and come and tell me. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. So Daniel chapter 2. Hallelujah. And verse, let's start from verse 12. So for this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And of course, what did they do? They didn't tell him his dream. And a part of me feel that this man forgot his dream. I feel it very strongly. They had a dream and forgot it.
and told them to remind him his dream, and now to tell him the meaning. So how come you forgot your dream, and we are supposed to remember it? Amen. But look at Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the king known, made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and said of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing. If I, let me forget what this made the thing. Let me show you NLT so that you understand it. Daniel went once to see the king and requested more time to tell the king what the dream meant. He said, give me time. Why would he do that? Because he knew that God has committed to telling him things. So at the time, did Daniel know what exactly to do? No. Did he know what the dream was? No. Was he sure that he will know? Yes. That trust. I get it, but you must bring your heart to a point where you know beyond every reasonable that God will lead me. You see, concerning this matter, God will show me what to do. Learn to say that. I get to the point. Concerning this thing, so if you want to get married, don't join people say, by this marriage thing, to find a good girl now is by connection. No. God, when it's time, God will lead me. Yeah, I believe that. Say, to find man now, no. When it's time, God will lead me. And that's the confidence. Are there bad people, bad girls and bad boys on earth? Well, yes. Are there pretenders? Well, yes. How are you sure you will not miss it? When it's time, God will lead me. That's the trust. Are you feeling what I'm saying now? Are there bad businesses here and there? Yes. Are there scammers that want to scam you of your money? Yes. How are you sure you will not lose your money? When it's time, God will lead me. You've got to come to that point of trusting that he will always lead. He is committed to leading you. So he told the king, give me more time. Give me more time. I may not actually have all the answers, but just give me time. Give me time. Of course, let's continue. So he asked for more time. Hallelujah. Then Daniel went home and told his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, what had happened. He urged them to ask of the God of heaven to show them his mercy by telling them the secret, so they will not be executed along with the other wise men of Babylon. That night, some say that night. That night, the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Daniel praised the God of heaven. And all of that. Amen. Hallelujah. Then of course, I like when he went to meet the king. Verse 27, Daniel replied, there are no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or fortune tellers who can reveal the king's secrets, but there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. That is his confidence. That I may not actually know what, but I know that God, I have the leading of God in my heart, so I'm going to tell you what to do. So at every time you hit a rock or you are at a crossroad, you can confidently tell people, don't worry, tomorrow or next tomorrow, we will sort this matter out. Are you following me now? And that's what has brought us to where we are in ministry. That's what's taking us to other places. At every time, I just know that God will lead us. That gives me some sort of confidence, some sort of comfort. I get to the point. So what are we going to do about this matter now? The reason you are sweating, you've not been able to sleep, you are depressed, is because somehow you've lost trust in the leading of God. And let me remind you that God is committed to leading you. He will always lead you. So trust him with all your heart. Say, I trust God. Say, I trust him to lead me. That's why I'm not the one that will make a lot of mistakes. I'm not going to make mistakes. Because God always leads me. Say, what do I say? Don't make mistakes. Nobody knows. See, nobody's above mistake. God leads me. God leads me. Hallelujah. So the first is trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust him with all your heart. Have faith in his leading. Have faith in his commitment to you. Have faith in that commitment. That I might not know what it is, but I now will know. Yes. I may not know what you can do about this matter now, but I'm going to know. I'm done with school. I may not know what is next for me, but I'm going to know very soon. that confidence comes from knowing that God is committed to leading you. Are you following me, friends? We've started this business. We've done all we know to do. But it's not moving. Sales are not coming in. Things are not working. And you sit with your employees and are saying, sir, what are we going to do? You've done everything you know to do business, so it's not working. Just tell them, well, we don't know what to do now, but we are going to find out soon. So let's reconvene tomorrow. That's confidence. They say, sir, what are you going to do? You say, well, I'm going to talk to God. God will tell us what to do. How often do you know God tells people what to do? Yeah. God will tell us what to do. We see 2026. Learn to say that confidently, even to your unbelieving friends. Yes. That I don't know what we're going to do about this, but God will tell us what to do. They may just say, ha, amen, no, you should tell us so. You know amen, no, you and your God, you should tell us so. Fine. He will tell us what to do. He will show us what to do. He is committed to doing that. And the picture that should always be on your mind is father and son. If your child, biological child, is at a crossroads, doesn't know what to do, and you know exactly what he's going to do, and he comes to ask you, won't you tell him? I get to the point. Won't you tell him? You will tell him. Except your wicked father. Even wicked fathers will tell him. Hallelujah. You know, anytime you begin to see God as father, it will change everything you know about him. It will change how you relate with him. Somebody asked me, he said, that somebody committed sin. And a person is in, I don't know why God is making me give this example, but it's going to help someone. He committed sin, and that's why he's suffering. So no matter how much he prays, God will not do anything because he's paying for his sins. And I wanted to take the person through the route of Jesus paid for sins. I said, well, let me give you something simpler. Because you were not just paid for sins now, you make your open Bible. I said, if you have a child, a son, and your son begins to do drugs, and they arrest him and put him in prison, will you go bail him? Will you bail your son? Because some of you will not. Let me ask you another tough one. You have a son, he gets into crime, and even kill someone. And you know that the way this judgment is going, he's going to be killed, death by hanging. Will you look for a good lawyer to get him out of it? Why will you do that? I thought are you not a man of integrity? Let him suffer for his sins. What do you think? See, you will borrow money. Now, I'm trying to show you, if man can be committed to man, even though he knows that the man is wrong because he's his son, I don't think God will leave you to die because you did something wrong. And that just helps someone. The day you begin to see God as father, it will change everything how you relate with him. It will. You'll still see him as God. The Odogunaya, the one dead in heaven. That's the problem. Because of that perception, it makes you reverence him, but it does something worse to you. It also makes you fear him and not relate well with him. There is the fear of the Lord that is right. That is fearing God that is wrong. God doesn't want to be afraid of him. The fear of God talks of reverence. Being afraid of God is not what is taught in the Bible. That's why Jesus called God Father. Are you following what I'm talking about now? Yes. So I told the young man, I said, you see, that same way that if, because all the people, you know, the problem is, even the people that you feel that are wicked, and I asked that guy many questions, that he was just thinking. I said, imagine you are walking across the road and you have a brother. You know that your brother is a thief. He used to steal, he used to pickpocket, he used to take phones. And while you are moving along the road, they're already beating him and they brought tire to put around his neck to burn him. Will you stand by the side and say, that serves him right? But he doesn't even see road. If you do that, you're a wicked person. You are now the witch. Are you following me? If they aggress your mother, catch your mother, and the mother is a witch, they caught her doing witchcraft. and they want to put rope tire to burn her, you will also go for her. That tells you how much people are committed to their family. Come on, friends. God is committed to his family. Are you following me this morning? God is committed to his family. And if your child has done something bad, and you see the people coming to catch him, and you know a route you can show him to escape, you will show him. Or you will not. You see them coming. You see them coming. You say, wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Take this road. Walk down. We'll get to that junction. Keep running. Don't stop. Keep running till you get to the end of the road. Now, why is all of that? Because even though he's wrong, you still want to show him a way of escape. God will lead you out. He will lead you out of trouble. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to clap for you. You might discipline your child, though. I hope you know. You know, you might actually, after you rescue him, you might take him home and say, you're not eating for 3 days. Yes. I feel what I'm saying. You might flog him. You might even say, fine, from now, you're going to a rehab. You can do many things to him, but you want him to be alive for you first. Because one that is life, that is hope. So you want to be seeing him. That's the point. That's commitment. Yes, God is not going to clap for you and say, oh, my son, I'm happy you're committing sin. I'm so proud of you. Sin on. No. He's going to send his word. He's going to chastise. He's going to rebuke you. He's going to correct you. But he's going to deliver you. He's committed to it. He will lead you out of the mess. Are you following me this morning at all? He will lead you out of trouble. And I'm saying to someone, if you're in a situation in your life where you don't know what to do, be confident to ask God to lead you. Even if you got in there by your own mistakes, he will lead you out by himself. That's his commitment. You know, the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, watch that. You know, I always like teaching Psalm 23. You know, Psalm 23 has many he. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, right? I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my souls. He paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I now came in. Even though I entered shallow shadow of death. Now, I'm trying to show you something. Immediately I came in. Because I doesn't have sense. I is confused. Even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I thought you would have said, Shay, I'll be leading you through still waters. That I'm going to leave you to start this one. But he said, even in that shadow of death, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They prepare them before me. So he's still doing something. I get to the point. He's still committed to you. So be confident that in this year, God will lead me. Are you following me, friends? He will lead me out of the problem. Thy rod and thy staff. And the picture you use is the picture of a shepherd. The shepherd corrects the sheep. The shepherd leads the sheep. So the rod for correction. The staff for guidance. So we got to correct you, yes. But will he lead you out? Yes. Are you following me, friends? That's why sometimes you come to church. You just come to church excited. Pastor preaches a very hard, a very tough message. You know, does it happen to you? It's like God, your mind be like, Pastor, it's like God spoke to this man about me last night. That is him bringing his correction. I get to the point. But you know, after all of that, he doesn't change by that he's committed to lead you out. He wants to lead out of the mess. He doesn't correct you and say, I've corrected you. When you now change, I'll bring you out. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. When you now get better, I'll bring you out. Because I can't lead you until you change. When you now change, I'm going to lead you out. God doesn't do that. He leads you out and begins to change you. Are you following me now? Yeah. He brings you out and now begins to change you. He doesn't say, well, if you don't change, I'm not going to. You see, I can lead you, but if you don't change, I will not lead you. That's not how God. Maybe that's how you are. That's how your father is. That's not how God is. He says, how do you know that? He said, can a mother forget her suckling child? He said, well, it can't happen. But he also said there's a possibility because there are wicked people. He said, even if a mother forgets her suckling child, he said, I, the Lord, I will not forget you. Yes. So he's a better father than your father. He's a better mother than your mother. Are you following me this morning at all? That's his commitment to you. So first of all, know that, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust that he will lead you. He will lead you. Next thing in Proverbs chapter 3, let's go back there as I'm teaching from there. So first, say trust in the Lord. Then secondly, he said, lean not unto thy own understanding. Lean not to your own understanding. And that's the second instruction I'm going to give you this morning. You want to always find God's leading and follow his way. Don't lean to your understanding. What he's saying today, do not trust your natural wisdom to get the job done. Do not trust your natural sense to get out of things, to show you what to do. Now, hear this. Hear this. I've explained this many times. Let me say it again. He didn't say you should not use your natural intelligence. He didn't say you should discard it. But he said you should not lean on it. Do you understand me now? To lean on it is to depend fully on it. What it means is if you want to do business, use your natural intelligence to do your scouting. Use your natural intelligence to do your study. But don't lean on it. When you are done with all those natural whatever, ask God what. And whatever he says, let it surpass whatever your natural intelligence has told you. Let it be bigger than it. Don't lean on natural intelligence because it has limitations. It does have limitations. Don't lean on what your brain can tell you. Don't just build or make your decisions based on what your natural mind is telling you. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not. Of course, you can use your natural intelligence because God gave it to you. I feel what I'm saying now. God gave it to you. But don't lean on it. Because once you begin to lean on it, what's going to happen is, even though God is committed to leading you, you will no longer pay attention to his leading because you're already trusting something else. Are you what I'm talking about now? You're already trusting something else. So since you're already trusting something else, even your mind wouldn't calm down to look, see what God is showing you. Don't lean on what your brain is saying. Trusting with all your heart is something I've practiced over time. That's why, you know, even in this, because of this building project, I normally tell the building committee, I said a couple of times to them. And I said to them, you see, I brought you people in here because both of you guys are spiritual. You guys are, of course, I'm telling you, I brought them in because I know some of them. I know some of the experiences they've had. But I always say, whatever God says to us supersedes whatever your brain is telling you. So even if by your own architectural sense, you think it should be done this way, and I wait upon the Lord, and the Lord said it should be done this other way, what God is telling us will supersede what your natural mind is telling you. Because we must not lean on that natural understanding. We can lean on it. We can use it, but we can't trust it. We can use it, but we can't depend on it. I'm going to say that again. If you keep depending and leaning on those things, gradually you begin to lose confidence in God's leading. Do not discard your natural intelligence, but never lean on it. And let me tell you, one of the major ways to show that you are not leaning on your natural intelligence is that you are praying over issues. Once you stop praying over the plans you have, you're already trusting your natural intelligence. It's not just enough to say, well, I'm not leaning on it, so I'm not leaning on it. Mm-mm. One way to show that in 2026, you are trusting God's leading and not your natural intelligence is that before you move, you pray. Before you start that business, you've made your business survey, market survey rather, you know that this will sell. From your own calculation, this will be the leading business in the next 2 months. Take time before you start and pray. And when you pray, hear this, don't pray casually. Don't pray to fulfill all righteousness. Really pray and find out what God wants to do. And I say this to people who are waiting on the Lord for marriage. I see some people, I tell them, take time and pray to know if you will get married to this girl. And they say, yes, daddy. Then they begin to pray. And in the course of their praying, they are still checking the girl. Hello, baby.
our wedding, we are going to do it in Egypt.
Now, if you're praying and you're already planning wedding, you are not actually praying to hear from God. You're just deceiving yourself.
Did you hear what I said now?
You can't be planning your wedding in Egypt. And you're still saying to the Lord, Father, lead me. No. Now, you know, I heard this from Shobedeko. I've heard it from him. I heard it recently from him again. He said when God led them to start a university, you know, he believed God led them. But he said he kept praying to confirm. He said even after when he got the papers, the license finally, to start a university, when he finally got the license, he went to the Lord in prayer and lifted that license up and said, Father, we've gotten this. But I want you to know that even if you tell me now that this is not your will, we will stop now.
I feel in point now.
When you pray, really want God to lead you. Really want Him to lead you. Don't just pray and say, did you pray? But say, I pray though. Don't trust your natural calculation. Use it. Use your natural calculation. Use your natural intelligence. I get the point. Because like I said, God gave it to you. But don't trust it. See, in our natural calculation, we got architects to work here, we got engineers to work here, and they're working. So the engineers tell me, you know, after every 10 blocks, we have to chain the blocks. That's natural calculation. I get on point. There's nothing wrong with that. We're going to stick with that. We'll do that. So we won't say, well, we're not going to chain any block until the Lord says so. That one is foolishness. I feel what I'm saying. That is the reason we went to school. That's the reason we educated. Hallelujah. But if the Lord ever says that, I'm going to do it. Same Shobedeko said where they were building, he saw a picture in the spirit of a building, 50,000 seaters, that will not have one single pillar inside. And he shared out with his engineers, he told him it's not possible. As at then, you know that faith tabernacle is a wonder to the world. People are coming to they've never. If some of you that are architects and engineers, I'm sure they use that building to teach people in school. Yes, they use it to teach in engineering because it has never happened before. He told them, the Lord showed me that it's possible. So even though by your own academic calculation you think it's not possible, but the Lord said so, they had to keep looking for a way, and it became possible. And they told him to collapse. He said, "What will God be doing in heaven to watch it collapse?" Lean not on your understanding. Your understanding is so important, but don't lean on it. Are you following me now? Do you know you can finish interviewing someone and naturally this person is qualified for the job? But the Holy Ghost says no. Are you following me? Don't say no. Want only first class in this company. The Holy Ghost said yes. That guy has first class. You see this other guy? Employ him. Lean not. So I don't care. That can't be the reason of God. Because from the Bible, God is the God of excellence. So he's really first class. You don't know. God knows what it is. That guy you're about to employ is about to take over your company in the next few months. He will run you out, or he will deal with you. Take your clients. Take everything you've ever worked for. And God has seen ahead because the Father is committed to his children. Are you following me, friends? He has seen and he's telling you, my son, forget first class, employ this other guy. So a man that will always find divine leading must learn not to lean to his understanding. And I told you the simple way to do that is to pray. When you pray, you know, I tell you, when people that don't pray over issues, they are too bold for their own good. You are too confident. How can you make up your mind on a matter you've not prayed about it? How can you decide on something and not pray about it? So we've decided to go this direction. You've not prayed. Say, we've seen the land. The land meets our choice. And we have the money. So we've made up our mind to buy it. And you've not prayed. Trust with love of your heart. Lean not onto your understanding. Lean not.
Use your understanding if you must. Lean not to it. Are you following me this morning at all? Lean not to it. You want to get married? Look for a beautiful girl. Because it's important. Are you following me? It's important to get a very beautiful girl. Do you understand? It's a spiritual instruction. So it's important. Very beautiful girl. Make sure she has what you are looking for. Look for a well-behaved girl from a reputable family. Are you following me? Look for a fine girl. Well-behaved. Look for a committed Christian. Serving in a department in church. Not in the church, I mean this church. Look for a fine one. But listen to this. When you finally make, because God will not pick for you. When we say the valley, it doesn't mean you'll be praying one day. God will say, my son, look. That lady on red. It can happen, but it's not a norm. Make your pick. But before you approach the girl and start saying, you know, when I saw you in my dream, you took over my mind. Talk to God. I'm telling you, talk to God. Because God knows. Now, your understanding has shown you something. And there's nothing wrong with using it. But you can't depend on it. Because God actually knows. And I can tell you sincerely from my as my job as a pastor has told me that you don't really know people. You know there are now, I'm not talking bad on women. Men and women alike. You know there are women that can be dealing with their husbands in marriage. When their husbands report, they will say, which one? This girl. She can't talk a fly. You know, a woman can deal with you in relationship. You don't talk. But when when they say, you are complaining, they say, this girl, hey, you don't know this girl. She walks so gently. You don't know. When they bring out men who do domestic violence, you'll be shocked. They're always smiling. Always happy. And you now follow the smile. Hand go touch you. Seriously. You don't lean. And I've seen this all over. You don't lean. You know, there are many things that have happened. I tell you stories here about marriage and then I laugh, you know. Because I've heard a few things. I've seen people change church, change their. I heard of a Muslim that became a Christian just to get a girl to marry her. And he was never born again. After they got married, he went home and continued his life. When I heard the story, a pastor told the story, I said, was the girl a committed adulterer? They said yes. I said, so what was the church doing? How did he cross all the structures? How did he do that? It means there was a case of leaning on your understanding. Just that is a committed brother in church. The way he lifts his hand in worship. I love people who worship like that, who are sold out to God. You think sold out to God is raising your hand and crying in church? Sold out to God is not raising your hand and weeping and rolling on the floor. That's not being sold out to. See, that guy is a worshiper. Who told you? Because he used to sing loud. Emmanuel! Don't mind my voice. Emmanuel! That's not being a worshiper. We will mind your voice, oh. That doesn't have to be a worshiper. You really don't know people, sir. Lean not to your own understanding. Don't lean to your understanding. 3 job offers. Do your calculation. Check the one that is close to your house. Check the one that pays more. After all of that, lean not to your understanding. Because that one that is close to your house, the company might be going through stress. They're about to close in 3 months' time. Or they're about to lay off their staff. And one of the ways to show another one to understand is that you pray. That's just as simple as that. Pray. For you to be executing any project in 2026 without prayer, you are very bold. That's not. Yeah, is it boldness? You are foolish. You are foolish. Pray and don't pray ceremonially. Really pray.
And I give instruction to everybody under me that wants to get married. Once they come, I say, you're going to pray. But please, don't just pray because you want to tell pastor, I've prayed. Done. Day one, done. Day two, done. Don't just do that. You see the way you're lying that you are done, done, done. That's how you're done in the marriage. So you can pretend to lie to everybody. But pray seriously. You can't be praying that you want to get married to someone and you guys already say you will have four children. First one will be a link. The second one...
Sorry. So, back to the teaching.
So you can't do that. Do you know what a link is? Do you know? If you don't know, you can never guess. It's a very fine name. Alexander. A certain village called Eling. That's you know, people in the village, they can spoil names. How many fine names, if they deal with the name like this, you know, you hate the name. Eling. Peshe. Can deal with names. You know, my father's name used to be Josiah. They call him Ijesiah. Ijesiah. Praise God. But if my point is, you don't just do that. If you're praying, make sure you are really, really praying. That's what I'm saying. And let God know that, come on, if you say no now, you're going to stop. And that leads me to the third thing. Back to that scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord. In my note, I said, how you must have the willingness. I'm already talking about it. Have the willingness to follow His leadings in all your ways. Now, I had to underline all when I was talking. All your ways. In all your ways. Not some. Let God know that, you know, that you are willing to obey Him in everything, no matter what. Once you have that willingness to acknowledge God and to obey Him in everything, it is easier for you to find God's leading. Yes. Now, I found out the reason many people don't find the leading of God is because they don't want to follow Him. They don't want. Yes. Some don't even care what God is saying. Me, I've thought about it. My instinct tells me to walk. Your instinct, have the willingness to follow Him in all your ways. Let God know. Let even yourself know that you are willing to follow Him no matter what. Jesus displayed that in Luke 22 verse 42 where He told God, not my will but yours be done. In other words, I really don't want to do this, but if you say we should do it, I will do it. That heart cannot miss God. A heart that says, I really want to do what you want. I really want to know what you want. And God in heaven knows that I want to know what He wants me to do. And if I know, I'm going to do it. Let me even tell you, one of the ways to show that you really want to know what God wants, that you're willing to obey Him, is it will show in how you obey already given instructions in His word over the same matter. For instance, you cannot sincerely be praying to God and say, Lord, I want to know your will over my marriage. You actually don't want to. If you are already disobeying instructions in God's word, like, don't be unequally yoked to an unbeliever. Because if you're already disobeying simple, laid out instructions in God's word over a matter, you actually don't want to know what God wants to do in that matter. You're not willing to obey. Because that willingness to obey will show in how you're already obeying the already given instructions. You're asking God to tell you what to do. Whereas the word has already told you to do over the matter, you're disobeying it. Are you following what I'm saying now? So, Lord, I want your leading over my business. And now there is this business on your table and it involves scamming someone. And the Bible is so clear that you should not steal from someone. But then you want to ignore that and steal from the person. And later you go to God and say, Father, lead me. Now you're not going to find His leading. Because you've already displayed that you actually don't want to obey Him. So there is no need, even if He tells you, you will still not do it. Because the ones who have already told you, you are not doing it. Are you following me? I was talking to someone yesterday over the phone, just counseling a distant mentee of mine. You know, she reaches out once in a while. Because, and I'm okay with it. So I was counseling her about something.
And it was ministry. She does ministry, you know, and all of that. So I just give her one or two counsels. And then she told me something she wanted to do. I said, don't do that. What she wanted to do, you know, she wanted to, let me just give you the background story. She wanted to start reaching, she's reaching secondary school students. She's doing a ministry related to that. Reaching secondary school students. And then, she told me that when she gets to the schools, they don't allow her to gain access to the school to preach. So she now wants to join an existing fellowship that already has that permission in those schools. You get the point? So that when she preaches to them, she can now invite them from that fellowship to her own ministry. I say, if you try that, you've lost. Are you getting the point? The Bible is clear. God is a God of order. You can't join Platform of Grace. And then after service, you now tell two people, say, I also have a program in my house tomorrow evening. You'll be so blessed if you come. That's disorderly. I said, if you start doing that, you're actually displaying that you don't want to listen to God. Because there's already a clear constitution on God's word and order. Let all things be done decently and... Yeah, so that stuff is indecent, I told her. It's indecent and disorderly. And that's what she said. She caught herself in the line and said, yes. I shouldn't do that. Because you can't be seeking God's leading in ministry. Right? And you are willing to disobey the already given instructions in His word concerning ministry. It means even if He tells you the next one, you will only obey if it's convenient for you. If it's not convenient, you will still not obey it. Are you following me this morning at all? So you want God's leading in your relationship. Start by obeying the things He has already said to you in His word over relationship. Don't be unequally yoked to unbelievers. Keep your relationship pure. In 2026, keep romance and sex out of your relationship if you are not married. Start from there. Because look at the point. Once romance and sex enters your mind, and this is very important. Once romance and sex enters your relationship before you're married, one of the things it does to you is that it begins to affect your sense of judgment. I give you an example. If a young girl is already sleep. Imagine a young girl is approaching and meets this boy, likes this boy too much, and begins to sleep with this guy. Give me this example. Once already involved in sex and all of that, even when God is saying it's not going to work, it will be hard for her to accept it because she has given in too much. I get to the point. Where am I going to start from again? After all of this, it affects your sense of judgment. Are you following me? Why be quiet? Are you following me? Don't be quiet. Affects us of judgment. If a young man already sleeping with a girl, when you finally find out that God doesn't want you to be with that girl, you're already in trouble. Because if you say you want to pull out and not do it again, the girl will say you dumped me, and you actually dumped her. You say you complicate your life. Are you what I'm saying now? It complicates your life. You know, I say, Pastor, I didn't intend to dump her. Just that God actually, I swear I heard God. Okay. You heard God. You didn't hear God when the Bible said flee fornication. You didn't hear that one. Igakwachiko. But that's not, you don't hear God. It complicates your life. And it makes it difficult to follow His leading. So if you want God in any area, one of the safest things to do to keep your mind sane to hear God is find out the things He has already said concerning that matter in His word. And begin to obey those instructions already. That way you are setting yourself up for the next thing He's going to say. Are you following what I'm saying now? Yeah. So if you are having, I don't know why God's giving this example. You are having a quarrel, you are in an environment, people are being hostile to you. You don't know what to do. You want God to lead you on what to do. I tell you what you can begin to do. Start loving them. Because that one is basic instruction in God's word. Love your enemies. Now, in the midst of all of that, you know, by showing them love, even though it's not convenient, you're already saying to the Lord, any other instruction you give me, whether it's covenant or not, I'm going to obey it. Now, not just by saying it, you have postured your heart that way. Are you following me this morning at all? So, trust in the Lord of your heart first. Don't depend on your understanding. Then in all your ways, acknowledge Him. In all your ways, be willing to let Him have His way. Have that yieldedness.
that says to God whatever you want. I just gave an example of the pastor, the bishop that told God, even if you tell me to stop now, I'm going to stop. I've got the license for this university. You know what that takes to do that. But if you say we should not build it, I'm going to stop this moment. This moment. This moment. Now imagine if in getting that license, he was already bribing his way through. You know, if you bribe your way through to get that license, you can't. If God tells you not to go ahead with it, it's difficult to obey. Are you get what I'm saying? Because, come on, I've done a lot for this matter. Which one is don't go ahead with? Don't go ahead with what? Do you know what I've passed with to be able to get this very license? That's why some of you that are planning to travel abroad. One of the ways, for instance, to show that you really want to do God's leading is that you don't soil your hands for it. You don't begin to, are you get what I'm saying? You don't begin to forge documents. And these are things that we don't talk about in the church again. Because everybody just want to jack out. Just so you can get out there. You've gotten out. And I'm telling you, it is wrong. It is still wrong till tomorrow to forge documents. It is still wrong to falsify your age. Say amen. Because God be asking you to lead you over a particular matter. And you are disobeying already existing instructions over that matter. And you're not saying, Father, bring new ones, I will obey. You will only obey those new ones if those new ones are covenant for you. Okay, let me ask you. If you falsified your age, forged all the documents, and the business was existing, and the Lord says, my son, this is not my plan for you. Don't go. Will you stay? So you notice, by all those steps you've taken, you've already proven that you really don't want to obey God. Are you following me, friends? So there are already existing instructions in God's word. Start obeying them. Start obeying them. Start obeying them. You are trusting God to lead you in the area of your finance. Now, start obeying the existing instructions already in God's word. I can give you some instructions in God's word about your finance. Should I give you? For instance, the Bible says you should not steal. Let him that stole steal no more. See, if you're already stealing, I want to know what to do about my finance. Stop. Secondly, the Bible says let him walk. Get just something and start doing. While you are waiting for the big breakthrough, be doing something. Get a job. Right? If it's hard to get a job, start doing something. Start selling something. Get pure water on credit. Start selling water. Sell it. Let me tell you, it's just simple instruction in God's word. Because it is now in obeying those, and God knows you are selling this because he said you should do something. You're just obeying his word. What are the instructions? Be diligent. These ones are basic things about finances. Be diligent. What else? Give. He says, I give. What I don't have, well, what you have, you give. Those are basic instructions. In obeying those, you're not saying to the Lord, whatever you want me to do next, what he does is, it does not make God lead you. God already wants to lead you, whether you do this or not. But he postures your heart. To now know, okay, look at what is next to do. Because you're already doing the ones that are existing already in the world. So I told a pastor, the pastor said, what if I want to find what God wants to do next in ministry? I said, pray. And he said, what if I've prayed, and I still am not able to get it? I said, should I tell you what to do? He said, yes. I said, start obeying existing instructions. He said, like what? I said, be diligent, study your Bible, teach the people diligently, do evangelism in church. Just be doing those basic things. Are you guys following me at all? Yeah. The Bible says every pastor should do Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Do that. Mobilize just for evangelism. Lead prayer. Just do your pastoring until you get what else God will have you do. There are clear instructions already in the Word of God. As you are doing that, you are posturing your heart to actually hear clearly what God will have you do. So when you stay idle or when you stay in disobedience to existing instructions in God's word, it is difficult to get the next one. And hear me, even when you do, you will not obey it. You won't. I mean, even when you get the new instructions, it will be hard to obey. Except that instruction aligns with what you want. You know, if you've already packed your bag to go to Australia, and the Lord says, go to Australia, it's easy. You say, Lord, I was already on my way. Thank you, Lord, for your leading. But imagine you've packed to go to Australia, and imagine on your way to the airport, the Lord asks you, where are you going to? You know, what I'm saying now is we are joking with it, but almost all of us have been there. Have you ever been in a situation where you deliberately refuse to pray? Because you know that if you pray, God will start saying things you don't want to hear. Because you already know what he wants you to do. I don't want to pray no prayer. They say there is prayer meeting. You come by looking up and down. Besides your quiet, you are avoiding that. Once it comes up your spirit, you distract yourself. That attitude is wrong. Keep God an attitude that shows I really want to obey you. And let me even say this to you confidently. God's way is always the best. God's will is always perfect. I wish you will know. When you obey him, it doesn't always start well, but it will always be fine. It will always end beautifully. In 2026, and I'm saying this, some of you, God will give you difficult instructions. But don't be afraid to obey. If you've already postured your heart to obey other things that he has been saying, those ones will no longer look difficult. You know, and the thing about God is, if you are working with him, what people call difficult instructions will only be difficult to them and not to you. To you, it will look very normal. Yes. It will look very normal. You meet some pastors, for instance, that the Lord has led to go and pastor in a village. You are the one pitying them, saying, "Chai, Jesus. See how they're passing through." But then they say, "They're fine. They are happy." When you've learned to obey God, when he gives you instructions, to others it may be very tough. But for you, what's there? It's just one of those things. Are you following me? If all your life you've practiced integrity, that when there is a bad day, you don't scam people. Do you understand? You don't scam. It's been in your life. If it involves taking people's money, you stay away from it. When you are about to close a deal and the Lord says that deal that is coming, it stay away from it. It's not going to be hard to obey it. You've been doing it all your life. I feel what I'm saying now. You just walk away from it. And people are wondering, how are you able to do that? They say, do what? That's been my life. Will I take people's money? It's easier to know God's will and to walk in it if you've already been obeying his instructions in his word in that area. But if you've been scamming people and taking people's things, it is very difficult when God tells you that he's coming, that stuff, stay away from it. You say, am I the first? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So obey him. Have that willingness to obey him. I call it yielded hands. Have those hands that are yielded to whatever God will have you do. I know many things. Some like a woman could tell you, this is one of his biggest secrets in ministry. You see, he just finds out what God wants him to do, and he does it, and then he's fine. The blessing of God is on his instructions. Yes. If you check the Bible in the ministry of Jesus, almost every time he gave an instruction and the disciples obeyed it, a miracle followed. Fill up the water jars, draw from it, go and give to the master of ceremony, a miracle followed. Tell the people to sit down, take this bread and go and give them, a miracle followed. Are you following what I'm saying? Every time he gave an instruction and obeyed it, a miracle followed. I can show you many. Because most times, miracles are simple obedience to instructions. So yield yourself to obey him. Yield yourself to obey. You might not have heard the Lord say, thank you, Lord Jesus. You might not have heard the Lord say, I'm giving you your streets. Go there. Go right. You will see 10 men smoking. You will get them saved. You might not have heard that. But there are instructions in God's word that says you should preach the gospel to everyone. Start obeying that. Don't wait to hear anything. Go for evangelism. It's very clear. You might not have heard the Lord say, I'm giving you nations. Nations of Indonesia is yours. Nations of China. You might not have heard all of that. Do you get the point now? But there are instructions in God's word that says, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. It's very clear. So while you are waiting to know whether God wants you to go to Spain or go to wherever, God was already clear on the fact that you should preach the gospel. You might not have heard the Lord say, heard pastor say, I was praying and the Lord asked me to wait on him for 6 hours and my life changed. You might not have heard that. But there are instructions in God's word that says, pray without ceasing. Are you following me now? So while you are waiting to know what to do, start doing what you already know. What you already know. Talk about giving.
There are days the Lord will come to you and say, my son, concerning this money that you got, none of them is your own. Imagine you make a business profit of 150 million. And you say, oh, glory, the Lord said, no, it's not your money. He said, you foul devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Say, who is he that speaketh when the Lord has not spoken a thing? I know that voice. It's the voice of God.
Now, it will be hard to obey. Now, you may not have heard that voice yet, but you've heard simple things in God's word like give, honor your pastor, give to the world. These are basic things. Obey those ones. If that instruction to part with 150 million now comes, it will not be hard because you've been a giver all the while by obeying what you found in God's word. Divine leadings are easy to walk in if you've always been a doer of the word. I'll say that again. Divine leadings are easier to walk in if you've always been a doer of the word. Divine leadings are difficult to obey if you've not been a doer of the word. Even what we call difficult leadings are easy to obey if you've always been a doer of the word. When the Lord called me to do ministry, to preach all my life, it wasn't so hard for me. Because from the day I got born again, day one, I began to preach. Day one. Preach everywhere. I didn't even know if I was going to be anything. Some of you know my story. I got born again. I made that commitment. I won't call it getting born again, because I've been born again before then. I made that commitment to the Lord on the 8th of July. I went on my first remote mission work, 1st of August. I had no hear. I had no thoughts of the Lord. Nothing like that. So when it finally became a lifetime assignment for me, it wasn't so difficult to readjust myself. It was even exciting. Because I've just been obeying God's word in that area. Do you follow what I'm talking about now? So if you've always been a doer of the word, it is easier to listen to his instructions and to follow it. Now, I want to see if I can wind down. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to give you two instructions. I want to skip something and give you two instructions the Lord gave me. Because every time I teach on divine leading, I always feel this atmosphere. But I want to say this. Please deal with regrets coming from your past. Deal with it. Many of you, whenever you hear divine leading, be like, ah, that's why I'm still where I am. Ah, that's why I missed this. I remember. How many of you remember a leading that you missed? That's why. I would have been Dangote today if I didn't miss this leading. Think about that. Some of you, God told you, invest in that business. And you are being skeptical and then it passed. And then suddenly that business in the next 3 days, boom. Every time you look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Chai, this thing pastor used to teach about divine leading, you will never learn it. Had it been you just obeyed this simple instruction?" Now, the Lord said, as you say, deal with that regret. It's the voice of the devil. Even though God wants you to follow his leading, he does not speak to you with condemnation. And don't act with regret. "Hi, I wish I obeyed God though." Now, you didn't obey him. You've learned you did not obey him. Let that be done with. Because once you stay in that zone of regrets, you know, it keeps you from moving forward. Let me announce to you that God is not a God of second chance. God is a God of multiple chances. I'm telling you plainly. He said God gives only second, he gives one chance, two chances, five chances, 30 chances. So if you missed him, just rearrange yourself and get back to the leading, to obeying him. That opportunity is coming again. I just give you an example with Google Map. If he says turn right and you didn't turn right, the map is not going to say, you know, say in the next turn right and you missed it. The map will now say, "Well, for now, I'm done with you. Since you've decided to go on your own way, bye-bye." Pyong. It goes. It doesn't behave like that. What he does is he begins to look for another way. Is that another right to turn? Or he will say, at the roundabout, make a U-turn. There are sometimes U-turn can be far. But God is committed to you. Don't live in regret. What you cannot do is, if you miss your turn, you start complaining. Guy, what kind of foolishness is doing me like this? Why did I just miss this storm? What kind of human being is this? You'll be complaining, you soon jam somebody. What you look for is, what's the next turn? God gives many chances. Are you following what I'm talking about now? God gives many. Don't live in regrets. Because if you live in regret, you might even compromise. You know, one of the things you cannot do, maybe the Google Maps says turn right and you missed it. What you cannot do is to now make a U-turn on the wrong lane so that I can catch up, because police will catch you, or road safety, or MOT, as the case may be. God has many ways. Now, it's difficult to miss God's leading, no. But should that happen, don't let the devil keep you in regrets. I mean, even if you miss God's leading about who you will marry, now this brother God brought your way, but you are just being careless and you miss that brother, and that brother is now married. It's okay. There are many of such brothers that are still coming your way. I'm telling you plainly. But if you stay in that regret, I told you I met someone like that many years ago. When a vehicle, he's not even born again. So when a vehicle, and he was talking about women in a very condescending manner. Say, women, yeah. I just carry this one. I just discard. I was like, what kind of thing is that? He told me that he knows he can never marry right in his life. I said, why? He said, because there are not many good women. He said that there was one good, that the best woman on earth, that God brought her his way, and that he messed up with that relationship. That he messed it up. He was sure he knew. And that since that girl is married, that I beg, that he's just going to be here. Any girl that come, he will show the girl pepper. Yes. You see, he has recognized that he missed something. Or maybe not too. Just saying. He has realized that he missed something. But he has not been able to move on from the regrets. God doesn't do guilt and condemnation. If you feel or you know you've missed him, the first thing to do, stop at that spot immediately. Stop moving. We follow you, miss God. Don't keep moving. Stop. And say, okay, Father, do I make a U-turn or do I keep going? Ask him what is next. Don't stay in regrets. Don't stay in regrets. You know, I was trying to study this Acts, because every time I turn divine leading, I always go back to study Acts 16. When the Lord led Paul and the rest of them into Macedonia. You know that story? You know, the Bible said, I think in verse 7, it said they assayed, that's King James. As I told you, King James, they blessed stuff. They assayed to go into Bithynia. They assayed. What does that mean? Huh? They assayed. What does it mean? NLT said, then coming to the brothers of Mysia, they headed not for the province of Bithynia, but the spirit of Joseph allowed them. So, they are said doesn't mean, it's not like they were at home and said, well, I think we're going to go. They were already on their way. Do you understand what I'm talking about? They were, Bible said they were on their way. It doesn't mean they were thinking. They were already going. It's just like they carried their bag into the park. Maybe they were already moving. And they just felt that coldness in their spirit. And they turned. So, you can actually miss God. Scratch that. You're not meant to miss God. You can't miss him. Or you're not supposed to miss him. But you can, not supposed to, you can miss God. But whenever you find out you've missed him, stop. Perhaps they were headed to Bithynia. One thing, let me make that complete statement. Nobody can miss God. No believer can miss God unconsciously. You know what I said? Anybody believer that misses God missed him consciously. In other words, what I mean is, God is so committed to you that if you miss him, you will know you missed him. So when they headed to Bithynia, they felt that cold. The problem with many of us is that when we are headed to Bithynia, and then we now sense that coldness, we say, ah, we've gone far now. She already on our way. She see God's word, we are going to preach when we get there. Let's now finish going. That's the problem. Once you find out that you're on your way to Bithynia, and right down your way, you find out that you shouldn't be going this way, stop immediately. Good, look at that verse again. NLT said, they headed not for the prophets of Bithynia, but again, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So instead, they went on through Mysia to the Spirit of Troas. So they did not change their direction. They were already heading somewhere. They were not at home. Some of you think they were at home saying, should we go? The Holy Ghost said no. Should we not go? No, they were already going. So maybe you are like Paul. You're already on your way. And you find out that you've gone on the wrong way. Don't stay in regret. Stop immediately and find out what you should do. Because regrets will keep you down. And I don't know who I'm talking to. If you're already in a bad relationship, and because of your prayers and all that, you find out that you are wrong, stop immediately and pull out. Yes. That's the way to do it, where you have to pull out. Because a broken engagement is still better than divorce. Are you aware? And let me even say this. A broken engagement is better than a bad marriage. Are you aware of this? But there is this bad stuff in our generation. We have people, sorry to say, especially women, just want to marry. Let it be that they've married. Say, is this, let me marry first. Let it be that I've once been married. Don't do that. I say, even if it's on the wedding day. But why should you wait to get to the wedding day to find out? You shouldn't wait till that. But if you do not find out till that day, you're already on your way to Bithynia. You're already at the gate of Bithynia to enter. And you sense, shouldn't be here. Stop. And don't live in regret. Don't live in regret. Stop living in regret over missed plans. I always say this. God always has a way. Somebody say, what if I've gotten to Bithynia before I found out? God has a way of leading you out. What that way is not, is regret. Stop living in guilt over the plans of God that you missed. Because some of you are already afraid. You are always scared of hearing teachings around divine leading. Because it reminds you of mistakes that you made. You know in your heart that you would have been bigger than this had it been you obeyed this and obeyed that. Well, you didn't obey it. But guess what? God is still committed to you. And he still has a way of leading you to where you are going to. Because I'm talking about postures, how you have to keep your heart to be able to receive divine leading very well. Regret is a bad heart posture. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Regrets, guilt or condemnation is a bad posture that your heart should not have. A heart full of regret, full of guilt, full of condemnation will not be God's leading. Easily. Stop the regrets. Stop the regrets. Are you following me? Stop the regrets. I've seen people walk into what is not God's plan for them entirely. I read a man's book. The guy said, the way he told, he teaches in Bible school. But he told his students, you know, that he's living in God's second best. Because he said when he was younger, he had a leading strongly in his heart. He was in the United States to come to Africa to come do ministry. Missions and crusades and all of that. He said, but he didn't listen to that leading. He ignored the leading. Until later in his life, in his 70s or 80s, he now became clear to him that he had missed God. But then, by then, he couldn't come to Africa again. He was already too old for it. Or so he thought. So he just told God, so what do I do? I really want to serve you. God had to plan something else for him. And he became a lecturer in many Bible schools that prepared many people for missions. That's what I'm talking about. So he tells his students, I'm living in God's second best. I'm saying, don't stay in regret and live there. I say, child, oh, I would have been this. If not for this, child, if not that I didn't obey God, I would have been this. You know, it's already the devil. God doesn't talk like that. You think you are being spiritual, you're actually being very carnal. That's carnality at his peak. Remember that story I told you people? Do you remember?
But I didn't preach to one brother. Yeah. Didn't preach to one boy. And the devil haunted me with that for long. But so how long? For about 7 minutes. That was long. Very long. Don't keep the voice of guilt and conviction in your heart for long. The devil haunted me very long. For like 7 minutes. I was on a bike. The devil was telling me, so you didn't preach to that brother. You didn't preach to him. What if that guy dies now and goes to hell? What if you're the last person that boy will ever meet? What if God allowed both of you to meet? In fact, God allowed both of you to meet so you can preach to that boy, and now you do not preach to him. What if what if that guy ends up becoming an armed robber, a hired assassin? What if he now becomes a kidnapper? And I was dealing with it. And the problem is, most of us don't realize it's the devil talking to us. Because it doesn't sound like the devil. It sounds like your thoughts. But hey, it's the devil. It's not your thoughts. So how do I know it's the devil? Hear what he's saying. So as I was doing that, I still remember, even as I'm talking to you, I still remember where I got to. If you know Soka very well, I got on that bike around park. Soka Park. I was around after barracks, around Francis Food. The Holy Ghost said, you should have preached to that guy. You did not preach to him. I was one that told you that at the park. He said, whatever that you've been hearing since then is not me talking to you. Ah! I woke up. Imagine I go to bed thinking, Kai. You can even dream where the boy is in hell burning. So you know what I did? Because once you deal with regrets, you now know what to do. So I just prayed the prayer and said, Father, send laborers to meet him. I feel what I'm saying now.
Yes.
Or order myself to meet him again. Don't stay in regret because you feel you missed something. That's the first. The last thing I'm going to say is deal with fear. You see, fear, the fear of missing God, is the easiest way to miss him. The fear of missing God. One of the things the fear of missing God does to people is that it keeps them in a state of inaction. They will not walk. Say, do you want to go and do it? He said, am I sure it's the will of God? I'm waiting to know if it's the will of God. Am I sure it's the will of God? He said, are you starting the business? I said, I don't want to miss God though. I have to be sure it's his will. Now, this is around August 2026. And a business dream you conceived in January, you've still not started because you are afraid that you might be doing it wrong. Now, don't do that. God is committed to lead you. He will lead you. Let me even give you a simple thing. If you come up with something in your, and I'm telling you very simply, you come up with an idea in your head. Remember I told you, the Bible did not say don't use your understanding, it said don't lean on it. You come up with something in your head, and you pray and pray and pray about it. Now that thing you came up with is not sinful, it's not bad, and you pray about it, and you didn't get any negative light in that direction. Follow it. Follow it. You don't say, but I've not heard my son, I'll use it to change the world. You better run after that. Don't come under the fear of, what if it's not God? If it is not God, when you went to pray for an hour, for 2 hours, for 3 days, for 4 days, you would have sensed the light in your spirit. That's his commitment to you. You would have sensed that red light. Don't stay in a state of inaction because you're afraid of missing God. I've told you, you cannot miss God unconsciously. Everyone that misses God chose to miss him because he will get across to you. You will know. That's why I gave an example jokingly where some of us say things like, where some of us are even afraid to pray because you don't want to pray over the matter because you already know that once you pray, you know what you're going to hear. You know what that tells you? You already know what it is that you're going to hear. Somebody said, I'm afraid to pray. I don't know. I don't want God to tell me not to go. I said, because you already know that he will tell you not to go. So it shows we deliberately miss God. People miss God deliberately. So because of that, don't be afraid. He will get across to you. If you really want to obey him, don't be afraid of missing him. Don't say, so different guys are coming your way. And he say, why have you not chosen one? Say, I don't want to miss God. I don't want to miss God.
I want to be found in His plan, His will for my life.
When I was younger, I used to say that before I get married,
that I will not get married until the Lord spoke to me clearly. I mean, appeared to me and told me. And that I'm going to get the name of the lady and share it. I used to say this, so, and share it to about 5 or 10 of my friends. And sorry, I said I won't give the name of the lady, rather. I'll just tell them to pray. And I'll make sure they get the same name. And if all of them get the same name, I will now know that that is the one God wants. If I don't get the same name, I will not move on. People would have said, "Chai, that man is bitter. That man is very carnal." That's carnality. Yes. It's an underlying fear. It's awful I'm talking about. It's just being afraid. It's being afraid. I don't. You're not different from Nebuchadnezzar, who see a dream and say, "Let them tell me what the dream is." You know what? Part of the reason I also believe he did that, apart from the fact that I think he forgot the dream, he doesn't trust them. He knows that if he tells them the dream, they can forge anything and tell him. Say, "No, you tell me the dream and tell me the meaning." We are not like that. We must be men that trust the leadings of God in our hearts. Deal with the fear. You won't miss God. Yeah, I'm telling you. Confidently, you won't miss Him. But if you're afraid of missing Him and that fear consumes you, you will not move on. You just be inactive. I've told you a very simple thing. Be obeying the truths in God's word. Why have you not gone to preach? I'm waiting upon the Lord to know where He will send me. Where He will tell me to go preach. Who He will send me to. You think I'm impressed by that, your show of carnality? You're not waiting upon the Lord. God's word is very clear. Go and preach. Why are you already obeying that one? If there's a special person who wants to go and preach to, He will now send you there. Don't be afraid of missing God. What if I now preach to the wrong person? There's no wrong person to preach to. There's no wrong person to preach to. Are you following what I'm saying now? You want to start a business? Why have you not started? Sir, I'm still waiting for God to tell me. Let me tell you. If I'm waiting for God to give you a business idea, I'm going to solve it for you. Should I? What is that idea that has been coming to your heart that you've been fighting? God has answered your prayers. He said, if there is not coming, I'll tell you what to do. Browse about it. Research. In your research, one idea will come very strong. Now, that is your understanding. Take it to the Lord in prayer and pray. If you pray and you don't get any cool feelings about it, go for it. Don't live your life in a very inactive because you're afraid of missing God. Because that fear is sponsored by the devil and the flesh in partnership. See, so you want me to just can't. What if it's not the will of God? Lord, I'm committed to your will. That's why I'm not moving. That's why I'm not moving. Somebody's offering your business deal. Looking very good. And you can do it. You now say, I don't want to miss God. Now, can you take one day to say, let me pray and come back? Yes. Say, give me time to pray and come back. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're praying and saying, I want to really hear Him say, my son, go. I must say it 3 times. Because 3 is the number of. You know, I don't believe in all those. I don't believe in numerology in Bible study. I don't believe in it. Do with this message, with information, whatever you want to do with it. I don't believe in 3 is the number of Trinity. 4 is the number of what? And what is 5? 5 is the number of grace. Why? 5 is not the number of grace. Tell your neighbor. He said, but grace is spelled 5. Grace has 5 letters. G-R-A-C-E. Okay? Glory to God. Who speaks Yoruba here? Anybody? Can speak Yoruba? Anybody? Raise your hand now. What is grace in Yoruba?
Yet I'm talking working now.
Do you agree, Yoruba?
Leave him. What do you say? Huh? If you not just say that, I'm going to do something. Do you know it? Anu. Huh? Okay, Anu is mercy. Grace is which one? Anu.
What? Yeah, you're Yoruba now. Yes, what's grace?
Eh? Ori ofe. Can you spell it? O R E O F E.
O R E O F.
That's 6. O. What about? It's meant to be 5. Who speaks Hausa here?
You know, by the time you check different dialects, you find out that your grace number of 5 is weak. Is weak. He said Jesus is spelled 5. Jesus has 5 letters. That's not true. Because even in Hebrew, Yeshua is not 5. I don't believe in all of those things. Well, let me tell you that. They say, you want to hear from God. God must talk to me 5 times before I know that I should go. It's doubt. You just have been afraid of missing God. And while you are waiting for God to talk to you 5 times, someone has heard God once and has gone to take that contract. He heard God only once. If a half voice, he wants to take it. Let me tell you, and I don't know why God is making me say this. If you're going to make it in life, you must be a risk taker. Many people are afraid of taking risks. So they hide that fear of risk under, I want to hear God. I get to the point. What we took in this land is a risk. Starting this building is a risk. Starting this building without 1 naira is what? Big risk. But I could have hidden under the fact that we're going to pray for 1 year to be sure the Lord is leading us. Whereas I'm just being afraid. If you heard God once and you're sure you heard Him, it's enough. Are you following me? Let me even why we say you should pray for 3 months when you want to get married. It's not actually to know hear God. It's not to keep hearing Him. It's just because in prayer you develop conviction and you sort out other matters surrounding that issue. I get to the point because people normally say the church people need 3 months to hear God. No, we need a minute or a second to hear Him. But there are matters of destiny that will demand that you pray and pray and pray. Not just to hear God further, but you know, to strengthen your convictions over the matter. Because marriage can be challenging. I get what I'm saying now. And because it can be challenging, one of the things that could be challenging does to you is that when the challenges come, you even begin to doubt if you heard God or not. I feel what I'm saying. So always make you pray that long. That's not because they're trying to make sure that you God is speaking. No. When you've heard God, you know you've heard Him. Amen. He says, how am I sure it is God speaking? Let me tell you, when God speaks, we know He's the one speaking. Just some people say things like, how am I sure God called me? If God calls you, you will know. Casey, did you hear me? I called Him now. He heard me. There are no two ways. If God calls you, you will hear Him. You will know He called. If you don't know if God called you or not, He didn't call you. Or He called you, are just trying to use, you get the point, you are trying to fight. So I want to hear it clearly in Pidgin English. Okay, if He called you, you will know. When He speaks, don't be afraid. God leads you to go and do a walk somewhere. Say, am I sure it's God leading me? I want to hear Him 7 times. You're just being afraid. Is this communication to somebody this morning? You're just being afraid. So I've been having this nudge in my heart to kind of reach out to everywhere in my every somewhere there's this ghetto behind my area. I've been having this nudge to go there, but I want to be sure it is God. It is God. You're just afraid that they may blow your eyes if you go there. It's God. Don't you won't miss God. You won't miss Him. So once you deal with rigors and deal with fear, and you're ready to obey God at all times, and then you pray and all of that, then you've kept yourself in a state where you will always get what He has to say. And I wanted to leave this place with one assurance. God will speak to you, and you will hear Him. I'm just telling you confidently. God will speak, you will hear Him. You won't miss Him. In my own journey, at that time that I've missed God, yes. What did I do? I just turned back and said, went back and said, what I'm doing. It won't even affect me the next time. At that time, I've taken steps and I felt, oh, I found that I couldn't have done this. Yes. He said, give me some examples. Have you not been here in this church and we shut down one or two church branches here? You've done it. And I don't feel bad. Again, but I don't start feeling shy. Oh, now it's time to start planting new branches. I'm not afraid. Father, please, oh, then let us plant a wrong one. What is all of that? Don't live in the regrets. Are you following what I'm saying now? Don't live in the regrets. Just fix it next time. Started a bad business you shouldn't have done. And I'm talking to someone here. You were scammed. And then it's making you afraid of getting into another business deal. Because you don't want to be scammed again. Deal with that fear. Just go and pray. God will talk to you. Because once you get under that fear will produce inactivity. You won't be able to move again. God will lead you. Say, God will lead me. Say it. Are you say it? Say, God will lead me. Stand to your feet all over this place. Say, God will lead me. I won't miss Him. Say, even if I've missed Him in the past, I won't miss Him this time. And even if I do, I will repent and I will get back on track. Say, the devil cannot hold me down with fears of missing God or with regrets from the past. Say, God leads me. Say, God is committed to me. God is committed to leading me. Say, He guides me. Shout it. Say it with confidence now. Say it with confidence now. God guides me. He will always guide me. He will always show me where to walk. He will always show me the path that I must walk. Even if I've missed Him before, I won't miss Him again. I won't miss Him again. If you keep your heart in this posture I shared with you this morning, what you will always find out is that even if you're about to miss God, my pastor will always say He will crank up the volume for you to hear Him. He will do everything, but because you will hear Him. Imagine your heart is in a posture where you're trusting that God will lead you, and that your heart is in that posture where you lead, you're not leading to understand, you're always depending on Him to lead you, right? And then you are always willing to obey His instructions when they come. I am not living in regret, I'm not living in fear. There is no way on earth we miss God. No way. You will hear Him. No, I say there is no way with confidence. There's no way. There's no way. God knows I've pastored the church for as long as I've pastored it. I've tried my best not to take one step without Him. And how do you know that? Even if any time I take a step, I find that I shouldn't have done it that way. I will stop. So, sir, you the branches you approved and God in all and God in session. Yes, yes. Why? Because I'm human, and sometimes you can just move in a certain direction just because of passion and burden in ministry. And I'm not the first to do that. No, but Ayagin said when they built their Rema office and all of that, they built a room for counseling. And they began to counsel people. People will come and they will counsel them. So they did that for years. So until one time he became very uncomfortable about it. I went to the Lord to pray. The Lord told him, I never asked you to counsel anybody. Don't counsel people. Let people go to their churches for their pastors to counsel them. And he stopped it. But he did it for some time. Are you following what I'm saying? And Romack said it was in 1999, when he celebrated 31 years in ministry, that God told him, you are just beginning to get into my plan for your life. He said he was angry. After 31 years. He said he was angry and he was happy. He said he was angry because 31 years of whatever. He said, but he was also happy because he has seen many miracles in those 31 years, many amazing things. He said, if he saw all of these things,
when not doing it perfectly right, it means it's about to heighten now. Now that's proper perspective. So what else would have gone into regret and start saying, hey, wasted years, wasted years, wasted years. Nah, we don't talk like that. I get what I'm saying now. So even if at this point you find out that you are on the wrong path, just turn back. Don't stay there in regret. And do your journey this year confidently knowing that God is going to lead you. Say, Henry won't miss God. If you like, call my name. Henry will not miss God. Say, certainly, confidently, Henry will not miss God. He will get it right. Say, Henry will get it right. I'll get it right. I'll get it right. Every step on the way, He leads me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands and just bless Him in this place. Pray in the Holy Ghost and bless Him. He said, your ear shall hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. That's His promise. He's committed to leading you. You won't miss Him. You won't miss Him. You won't miss Him. Oh, you won't miss Him. Pray all over this place. Ooh. Pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We won't miss Him. Pray without confidence. He will always guide me. If there is a matter that you need guidance on, begin to pray about it now. Light will shine in that path. I'll give you like 5 minutes. If there is a matter you've been trusting God to show you what to do about, begin to pray already in that direction. Pray in that direction. Pray in that direction. We will always know what to do. We will always know what to do. We will always see the path that we will walk in. Pray. See, He knows my name. Pray. We're going to sing that song together. Just pray for now. If there's any part, any matter, just play that song. Why don't you just pray? Direction in ministry is ministered in this meeting. Direction in business, career direction, relationships, the path you must walk is laid bare before you. It's laid bare before you. Not one time are we going to live confused in 2026. Because we have a God who is committed to leading us. Who is committed to leading us. We won't make mistakes. We won't make mistakes. Come on. Pray. I give you 3 more minutes. The choir should come up. I give you 3 more minutes. Pray. Shambara de Kasanda Labarataya. Woo!
Sing it.
He knows my name. Come on, just keep praying. Just make sure you're praying. Say, He knows my name.
He knows my name.
Oh, yes.
He knows my every thought. He sees the fault, and He hears me when I call.
Do it one more time now.
Say, He knows my name.
He knows my name.
Do ya barande lo koropotaya.
He knows my every thought.
He sees each tear. Come on.
He sees each tear fall, and He hears me when I call.
In Jesus' name, we pray. Thank you, Lord, for divine guidance. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Shandaro kumbrati kakandus kobarandaya. There is guidance in ministry. Blessed be God for guidance in ministry. Lord, the Lord said, I should say, just in line with what I've been talking about. Don't mask your fear. Your fear, the fears in your heart. And hide under the guise of, I'm still waiting to hear from God. I get what I'm saying? If there is fear in your heart, deal with it. Because I'm seeing someone that God has been putting a particular business idea in his heart for long. And it's been there. But you are claiming, I want to be sure I'm not missing God. The Lord said, deal with that fear. That fear rising in your heart is the devil trying to stop you. So all this while I'm trying not to miss God is actually not God. They're trying. It's not about missing God for you. It's just that you're afraid. What if it fails? What if it fails? Trust God's leading. Right? You have a leading to go into businesses. I'm seeing things like phones and gadgets and the rest of them. Trust God's leading. Some of you having a leading to expand what you are doing, trust it. Now, if it is not him, he will tell you. Do you know why it was easy for God to talk to Paul and the rest, even though they were already on their way to Bithynia? Because they had the right posture. They were already willing to obey him. That's why I talked about postures today. The right posture. I get the point. They were willing to obey him. So because my heart is willing to obey him, even if already in a matter, God knows he can call me back. But if you have the wrong posture, if you're already in the matter and God says, imagine if you are not, if Paul didn't have the right posture, he was really going to Bithynia, just use our present day, whatever. He already was at the airport, he has bought the flight ticket, they were boarded, about to move, and I just felt that coldness. And I said, hey, excuse me, somebody wants to come down. I said, why? I said, no, we're not going again. I can imagine Paul telling his team, everybody get down. God said, no, not today, not this trip. Now, that's how to walk with God. Not being afraid to move. You know, Paul could have said, I'm not going to, we'll lie under our blanket until the Lord speaks to us. You could wait for 10 years and you hear nothing. Don't be afraid. If you have that nudge in your heart, go in that direction. If it is wrong, trust that God is committed to you. He will call you back. Now, except there is now a special instruction in your spirit, you just sense that God wants you to wait. That's a different matter. I get to the point. I knew when God spoke to me about starting church. I knew when He wanted me to wait. I knew when I was now afraid. I prayed to start for this church stuff for close to 3 years, if not more. Well, I said it no more because there were years where I didn't accept it. I was just fighting it. But at the time, I began to pray for it, really. And then when it was time for me to move and all of that, everything wasn't fine. So I just kept saying, well, let me get a job. Let me do this. Until I had that revelation that jacked me up. Because Lord, it was like God was telling me, I'm not the one. You're not actually waiting on me this time. Don't claim that you're waiting on me. You are just being afraid. So there's a place for God to ask you to wait. I get the point. I can tell you, hold on this matter. And when that comes, fine. Waiting on God is not wasting your time. If you are wasting because God asked you to slow down and wait, there's nothing wrong with that. But make sure you're not masking your fear under the guise of, I'm waiting upon the Lord. Let there be no fears. I said, let there be no fears. You won't miss. Start won't miss God. Don't be afraid of missing. And don't live in regrets. Because God has a way of rewriting people's stories. Are you aware? If at sometimes the way it happens here, by the time he reroutes it and that you finally could get there, you will be thanking God you didn't get there earlier. I'm telling you. Because in the wisdom of God, what we'll call wasted years, God has a way of drawing from those wasted years and using it for your present day. I get what I'm saying now. I'm very sure. God can draw. I mean, I've gone to Romax State for 31 years. God told him, he said, one of the things that helped him, that comforted him, because even though those 31 years, he wasn't doing exactly what God wanted him to do. Right? But he had gained a lot of experience in those 31 years. Those experiences would not leave him. Are you following what I'm saying? So when God finally gets you on the path that you must walk, even what you are crying about as wasted years, he will draw from those experiences. That wrong relationship you shouldn't have entered, that you entered because you are not listening to God, now you are living in regret. Don't live in regret again. Because by the time you get into where God is taking you to your relationship, whatever, the experiences for that relationship will count. You will now see how not to treat your spouse. I know what I'm talking about here. No room for regrets. Because it is in God's specialty to take what the enemy meant for evil and turn it for good. That's how he operates. So the devil thought he has had the last laugh by leading you astray. But he never knew that God is committed to leading you back. And when he leads you back, he will even draw from the experience of what the devil did. And it will not be an added advantage to you. Someone needs to hear what I'm saying this morning, you know. It will be an added advantage to you. If I even be saying, thank God, I did. It happened like that. I mean, you can miss God, get on a bad business deal, and you are duped and you are scammed. And then years after, when you finally get it right, part of the experience you now need in your business will be what you gathered when you are duped, when you are scammed. Do you follow what I'm talking about? You know what it tells you? If you do not give up on God, the devil will never win. The flesh will never win. So even if you think you've missed God, no regrets. 2026 is a new year to get it right. Are you following me, friends? To get on the right path. No room for regrets. No room for fear. Just be yielded to obey God. And don't lean on your understanding. Trust that he will lead you. Lean not on your understanding. Yield yourself to obey him no matter what. It's going to be a beautiful year ahead. I said it's going to be a beautiful year ahead. You know, you can miss God about buying a car. And buy a car that will kill you. Buy a car that every day are pushing it to the mechanic. Every day are pushing it to the mechanic. I have somebody that told me that. He said, the more I kept pushing that car, the more I kept remembering that God told me not to buy this Kangaroo motor. But eventually, God can draw from that experience and help you. When you finally get the car that you want, you will now know a few things about cars. Because a bad car can turn you to a mechanic. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Lift your hands, let us bless him. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your name is exalted in the heavens. exalted. Hallelujah.
Say it three times.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Sing one more time now.
Your name is exalted in the heavens.
Yes.
Exalted in the earth.
Woo!
Sing it one more time. Say,
oh yes.
He's exalted in the heaven.
Thank you, Lord.
Exalted in the way.
Aya.
Oh Lord, oh, oh.
Yes,
your kingdom reigns forever.
Yeah,
your kingdom has no end.
We did two more times now, and we close.
Shimande la bredo shuna lenda la bara ho lodo.
Time with your hands lifted to heaven and your voice resounding in this place, say,
Lord, your kingdom reigns forever, your kingdom has no end.
Father, we honor you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, even simple, common sense things that people do, when you do yours by divine leading, it will have a different result. Like things that you tell people, God led me, they will say, but that's common sense. It could be common sense, but if God leads you to do common sense will have an uncommon result. I'm telling you, you could tell someone I was sick and God let me go to the hospital. They will say, will you not go to the hospital before? In a way, you go to the hospital by divine leading. The doctor will be doing one, God will be doing 10. I get what I'm saying now. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's worship God one more time in this place.
Sing, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One more time, singing out. Oh, Lord, your kingdom reigns forever. Your kingdom has no end.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Are you blessed? How many of us are confident that we are going to do this year with by God's leading? God's will, God's way. We won't miss him. That's the confidence. So every year you hear us say, we're going to win this year because we know God is going to lead us. We won't miss him. You know, the leading of God is a preservation. It's safety. You know, that is a way you talk to God when you're on a journey and something's about to go wrong and you're sure that God led you on that journey. Say, oh, so what is happening? So even if something finally goes wrong and they throw you into prison, you are still confident, you are still singing, because God was on the ask to come. You know, when God told them to go to Macedonia, they were thrown into prison, but they were not perplexed because they were sure God told them to come there.
So eventually the prison door opened. I get what I'm saying now. Yeah. Prison door opened. Thank you, Lord. Are you blessed?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.